Richard Matheson. Episode 2. And slammed his foot down on the brake pedal. This was idiotic. Why the hell should he run away? His car slid sideways to a rocking halt, and shouldering the door open, he lurched to his feet and started towards the truck with angry strides. All right, Jack, he thought. He glared at the man inside the truck. You want to punch my nose? Okay, but no more goddamn tournament on the highway. The truck began to pick up speed. Man raised his right arm. Hey! He yelled. He knew the driver saw him. Hey! He started running as the truck kept moving, engine grinding loudly. It was on the highway now. He sprinted towards it with a sense of martyred outrage. The driver shifted gears. The truck moved faster. Stop! Man shouted. Damn it, stop! He thudded to a panting halt, staring at the truck as it receded down the highway, moved around a hill, and disappeared. You goddamn miserable son of a bitch! He shouted. He trudged back slowly to his car, trying to believe that the truck driver had fled the hazard of a fistfight. It was possible, of course, but somehow he could not believe it. He got into his car and was about to drive onto the highway when he changed his mind and switched the motor off. That crazy fool might just be tooling along at 15 miles an hour, waiting for him to catch up. Nuts to that. So he blew his schedule. Screw it. Forbes would have to wait, that was all. He'd sit here for a while and let the nut get out of range. Let him think he'd won the day. He grinned. You're the Red Baron, Jack. You shot me down. Now go to hell with my sincerest compliments. He shook his head. It was beyond belief. He really should have done this earlier, pulled over, waited. Then the truck driver would have had to let it pass, or picked on someone else. The startling thought occurred to him. Maybe that was how he whiled away his hours. Was it possible? He shifted on a seat and stretched his legs out. Leaning back against the door, he closed his eyes and mentally perused the things he had to do tomorrow and the following day. Today was shot to hell anyway. When he opened his eyes, afraid of drifting into sleep and losing too much time, almost 11 minutes had passed. The nut must be an ample distance off by now, at least 11 miles and likely more, the way he drove. Good enough. He wasn't going to try to make San Francisco on schedule now, anyway. He'd take it real easy. Man adjusted his safety belt, switched on the motor, tapped the transmission pointer into drive position, and pulled onto the highway, glancing back across his shoulder. Not a car in sight. Great day for driving. Everybody was staying at home. That nut must have a reputation around here. When Crazy Jack is on the highway, lock your car in a garage. He chuckled at the notion as his car began to turn the curve ahead. Mindless reflex drove his right foot down against the brake pedal. His car had skidded to a halt and he was staring down the highway. The truck and trailer were parked on the shoulder less than 90 yards away. Man couldn't seem to function. He knew his car was blocking the westbound lane, knew that he should either make a U-turn or pull off the highway, but all he could do was gape at the truck. He cried out, legs retracting, as a horn blast sounded behind him. Snapping up his head, he looked at the rearview mirror, gasping as he saw a yellow station wagon bearing down on him at high speed. Suddenly, it veered off towards the eastbound lane. Man jerked around and saw it hurtling past his car, its rear end snapping back and forth, its back tires screeching. He saw the twisted features of the man inside, saw his lips move rapidly and cursing. Then the station wagon swerved back into the westbound lane and was speeding off. It gave man an odd sensation to see it pass the truck. The man in that station wagon could drive on. Unthreatened. Only he had been singled out. What happened was demented, yet it was happening. He drove his car onto the highway shoulder and braked. Putting the transmission into neutral, He leaned back, staring at the truck. His head was aching again. There was a pulsing at his temples like the ticking of a muffled clock. What was he to do? He knew very well that if he left his car to walk to the truck, the driver would pull away and re-park farther down the highway. He may as well face the fact that he was dealing with a madman. He felt the tremor in his stomach muscles starting up again. His heartbeat thudded slowly, striking at his chest wall. Now what? With a sudden, angry impulse, Mann snapped the transmission into gear and stepped down hard on the accelerator pedal. The tires of the car spun sizzlingly before they gripped. The car shot out onto the highway. Instantly, the truck began to move. Mann floored the pedal, then realized he couldn't make it, that the truck would block his way and he'd collide with its trailer. A vision flashed across his mind, a fiery explosion and a sheet of flame incinerating him. He started braking fast, trying to decelerate evenly so he wouldn't lose control. When he'd slowed down enough to feel that it was safe, he steered the car onto the shoulder and stopped it again, throwing the transmission into neutral. Approximately 80 yards ahead, the truck pulled off the highway and stopped. Mann tapped his fingers on the steering wheel. Now what? Turn around and head east until he reached a cutoff that would take him to San Francisco by another route? How did he know the truck driver wouldn't follow him even then? His cheeks twitched as he bit his lips together angrily. No, he wasn't going to turn around. His expression hardened. Well, he wasn't going to sit here all day, that was certain. Reaching out, he tapped the gear shift into drive and steered his car onto the highway once again. He saw the massive truck and trailer start to move, but made no effort to speed up. He tapped at the brakes, taking a position about 30 yards behind the trailer. He glanced at his speedometer. 40 miles an hour. The truck driver had his left arm out of the cab window and was waving him on. What did that mean? Had he changed his mind? Decided finally that this thing had gone too far? Mann couldn't let himself believe it. He looked ahead. Despite the mountains ranged all around, the highway was flat as far as he could see. He tapped a fingernail against the horn bar, trying to make up his mind. Presumably, he could continue all the way to San Francisco at this speed, hanging back just far enough to avoid the worst of the exhaust fumes. On the other hand, outracing the truck might be worth just one more try. This was obviously what that son of a bitch wanted, yet surely, a vehicle of such size couldn't be driven with the same daring as his own. The laws of mechanics were against it, if nothing else. Whatever advantage the truck had in mass, it had to lose in stability, particularly that of its trailer. If Mann were to drive at, say, 80 miles an hour, and there were a few steep grades, as he felt sure there were, the truck would have to fall behind. Right, he thought. He checked ahead, then pressed down hard on the accelerator pedal and pulled into the eastbound lane. As he neared the truck, he tensed, anticipating that the driver might block his way, but the truck did not shift from the westbound lane. Mann's car moved along its mammoth side. He glanced at the cab and saw the name Keller printed on its door. For a shocking instant, he thought it read Killer and started to slow down. Then, glancing at the name again, he saw what it really was and depressed the pedal sharply. When he saw the truck reflected in the rearview mirror, he steered his car into the westbound lane. He shuddered, dread and satisfaction mixed together, as he saw the truck driver was speeding up. It was strangely comforting to know the man's intentions definitely again. That, plus the knowledge of his face and name, seemed somehow to reduce his stature. Before, he had been faceless, nameless, an embodiment of unknown terror. Now, at least, he was an individual. All right, Keller. Let's see you beat me with that purple-silver relic now. He pressed down harder on the pedal. Here we go. He looked at the speedometer, scowling as he saw that he was doing only 74 miles an hour. Deliberately, he pressed down on the pedal, alternating his gaze between the highway ahead and the speedometer until the needle turned past 80. He felt a flickering of satisfaction with himself. All right, Keller, top that. He glanced aside as he hurtled past a beige sedan parked on the shoulder underneath a tree. A young couple sat inside it, talking. Already they were far behind, their world removed from his. Had they even seen him? He doubted it. He started, inhaling raggedly, as the shadow of an overhead bridge whipped across the hood and windshield. He was holding at 81. He checked the rearview mirror. Was it his imagination that the truck was gaining ground? There had to be some kind of town ahead. To hell with time. He'd stop at the police station and tell them what happened. They'd have to believe him. Why would he stop to tell them such a story if it weren't true? For all he knew, Keller had a police record in these parts. "Oh, sure, we're on to him," he heard a faceless officer remark. "That crazy bastard's asked for it before, and now he's going to get it." Man shook himself and looked at the mirror. The truck was getting closer. He was down to 74 again. Whining with frustration, he depressed the pedal. 80, 80, he demanded of himself. There was a murderer behind him. The car passed a field of flowers. Lilacs, white and purple, stretched out in endless rows. There was a small shack near the highway, the words "Field Fresh Flowers" painted on it. A brown cardboard square was propped against the shack, the word "Funerals" printed crudely on it. Man saw himself lying in a casket, painted like some grotesque mannequin. The overpowering smell of flowers seemed to fill his nostrils. Ruth and the children sitting in the first row, heads bowed, all his relatives. Suddenly, the road roughened and the car began to bounce and shudder, driving bolts of pain into his head. He felt the steering wheel resisting him and clamped his hands around it tightly, harsh vibrations running up his arms. He didn't dare look at the mirror now. He had to force himself to keep the speed unchanged. Keller wasn't going to slow down, he was sure of that. What if he got a flat tire, though? All control would vanish in an instant. He visualized the somersaulting of his car, its grinding, shrieking tumble, the explosion of its gas tank, his body crushed and burned, and the broken span of road ended. Up ahead were hills and mountains. He tried to reassure himself that upgrades were on his side, that he could climb them at the same speed he was going now. Yet all he could imagine were the downgrades. The immense truck close behind him, slamming violently into his car and knocking it across some cliff edge. He had a horrifying vision of dozens of broken, rusted cars lying unseen in the canyons ahead, corpses in every one of them, all flung to shattering deaths by Keller. Man's car went rocketing into a corridor of trees. On each side of the highway was a eucalyptus windbreak, each trunk 3 feet from the next. It was like speeding through a high-walled canyon. He gasped, twitching, as a large dusty-leaved twig dropped down across the windshield, then slid out of sight. If he should lose his nerve at this speed, it was over. That would be ideal for Keller. He visualized the square-faced driver laughing as he passed the burning wreckage, knowing that he killed his prey without so much as touching him. Man started as his car shot out into the open. The route ahead was not straight now, but winding up into the foothills. He willed himself to press down on the pedal even more. 83 now. Almost 84. To his left was a broad terrain of green hills blending into mountains. He saw a black car on a dirt road moving towards the highway. Was its side painted white? Man's heartbeat lurched. Impulsively, he jammed the heel of his right hand down against the horn bar and held it there. The blast of the horn was shrill and racking. His heart began to pound. Was it a police car? Was it? He let the horn bar up abruptly. No, it wasn't. Damn. Keller must have been amused by his pathetic efforts. Doubtless, he was chuckling to himself right now. He heard the truck driver's voice in his mind, coarse and sly. "You think you're going to get a cop to save you, boy? Shit! You're going to die!" Man's heart contorted with savage hatred. Jerking his right hand into a fist, he drove it down against the seat. "God damn you, Keller, I'm going to kill you if it's the last thing I do." The hills were closer now. There would be slopes directly, long, steep grades. Man felt a burst of hope. He was sure to gain a lot of distance on the truck. No matter how he tried, Keller couldn't manage 80 miles an hour on a hill, but he could. He worked up saliva in his mouth and swallowed it. He could feel sweat trickling down his sides. A bath and a drink. First order of the day on reaching San Francisco. A long hot bath. A long cold drink. The car swept up a shallow rise, not steep enough. The truck's momentum would prevent its losing speed. Man felt mindless hatred for the landscape. Already he had topped the rise and tilted over to a shallow downgrade. He looked at the rearview mirror. Square, he thought. Everything about the truck was square. The radiator grille, the fender shapes, the bumper ends, the outline of the cab, even the shape of Keller's hands and face. He visualized the truck as some great entity pursuing him, and sentient, brutish, chasing him with instinct only. Man cried out, horror-stricken, as he saw the road repair sign up ahead. His frantic gaze leaped down the highway, both lanes blocked, a huge black arrow pointing towards the alternative route. He groaned in anguish, seeing it was dirt. His foot jumped automatically to the brake pedal and started pumping it. He threw a dazed look at the rearview mirror. The truck was moving as fast as ever. It couldn't, though. Man's expression froze in terror as he started turning to the right. He stiffened as the front wheels hit the dirt road. For an instant, he was certain that the back part of the car was going to spin. He felt it braking to the left. "No, don't!" he cried. Abruptly, he was jarring down the dirt road, elbows braced against his sides, trying to keep from losing control. His tires battered at the ruts, almost tearing the wheel from his grip. The windows rattled noisily, his neck snapped back and forth with painful jerks. His jolting body surged against the binding of the safety belt and slammed down violently on the seat. He felt the bouncing of the car dive up his spine. His clenching teeth slipped and he cried out hoarsely as his upper teeth gouged deep into his lip. He gasped as the rear end of the car began surging to the right. He started to jerk the steering wheel to the left, then, hissing, wrenched it in the opposite direction, crying out as the right rear fender cracked into a fence pole, knocking it down. He started pumping at the brakes, struggling to regain control. The car jarred sharply to the left, tires shooting out a spray of dirt. Man felt a scream tear upward in his throat. He twisted wildly at the steering wheel. The car began careering to the right. He hitched the wheel around until it was on course again. His head was pounding like his heart now with gigantic throbbing spasms. He started coughing as he gagged on dripping blood. The dirt road ended suddenly. The car regained momentum on the pavement, and he dared to look at the rearview mirror. The truck had slowed down but was still behind him, rocking like a freighter on a storm-tossed sea, its huge tires scouring up a cloud of dust. Man shoved in the accelerator pedal, and his car surged forward. A good, steep grade lay just ahead. He'd gain that distance now. He swallowed blood, grimacing at the taste, then fumbled in his trouser pocket and tugged out his handkerchief. He pressed it to his bleeding lip, eyes fixed on the slope ahead. Another 50 yards or so. He writhed his back. His undershirt was soaking wet, adhering to his skin. He glanced at the rearview mirror. The truck had just regained the highway. Tough, he thought with venom. Didn't get me, did you, Keller? His car was on the first yards of the upgrade when steam began to issue from beneath its hood. Man stiffened suddenly, eyes widening with shock. The steam increased, becoming a smoking mist. His gaze jumped down. The red light hadn't flashed on yet, but had to in a moment. How could this be happening, just as he was set to get away? The slope ahead was long and gradual, with many curves. He knew he couldn't stop. Could he U-turn unexpectedly and go back down? He looked ahead. The highway was too narrow, bound by hills on both sides. There wasn't room enough to make an uninterrupted turn, and there wasn't time enough to ease around. If he tried that, Keller would shift direction and hit him head on. Oh, my God, man murmured. He was going to die. He stared ahead with stricken eyes, his view increasingly obscured by steam. Abruptly, he recalled the afternoon he'd had the engine steam cleaned at the local car wash. The man who'd done it had suggested he replace the water hoses, because steam cleaning had a tendency to make them crack. He'd nodded, thinking that he'd do it when he'd had more time. More time! He'd failed to change the hoses, and for that failure, he was now about to die. He sobbed in terror as the dashboard light flashed on. He glanced at it involuntarily and read the word HOT, black on red. With a breathless gasp, he jerked the transmission into low. Why hadn't he done that right away? He looked ahead. The slope seemed endless. Already, he could hear a boiling throb inside the radiator. How much coolant was there left? Steam was clouding faster, hazing up the windshield. Reaching out, he twisted at the dashboard knob. The wipers started flicking back and forth in fan-shaped sweeps. There had to be enough coolant in the radiator to get him to the top. Then what? He couldn't drive without coolant, even downhill. He glanced at the rearview mirror. The truck was falling behind. Man snarled with maddened fury. If it weren't for that damn hose, he'd be escaping now. Man stared up the slope, trying not to see the red light on the edges of his vision. Yard by yard, his car was slowing down. Make it, he pleaded, even though he knew it was futile. The car was running more and more unevenly. The thumping percolation of its radiator filled his ears. Any moment now, the motor would be choked off, and the car would shudder to a stop, leaving him a sitting target. He was almost to the top, but in the mirror he could see the truck drawing up on him. He jammed down on the pedal, and the motor made a grinding noise. He groaned. It had to make the top. Please, God, help me, he screamed silently. The ridge was just ahead. Closer, closer. Make it. The car was shuddering and clanking, slowing down. Oil, smoke, and steam gushing from beneath the hood. The windshield wiper swept from side to side. Man's head throbbed. Both his hands felt numb. His heart pounded as he stared ahead. Make it, please. Make it. Over. Man's lips opened in a cry of triumph as the car began descending. Hands shaking uncontrollably, he shoved the transmission into neutral and let the car go into a glide. The triumph strangled in his throat as he saw that there was nothing in sight but hills and more hills. Never mind. He was on a downgrade now, a long one. He passed a sign that read, Trucks use low gears next 12 miles. 12 miles! Something would come up. It had to. The car began to pick up speed. Man glanced at the speedometer. 47 miles an hour. The red light still burned. He'd saved the motor for a long time, too, though. Let it cool down for 12 miles, if the truck was far enough behind. His speed increased. 50. 51. Man watched the needle turning slowly towards the right. The truck had not appeared yet. With a little luck, he might still get a good lead. Not as good as he might have if the motor hadn't overheated, but enough to work with. There had to be some place along the way to stop. The needle edged past 55 and started towards the 60 mark. Again, he looked at the rearview mirror, jolting as he saw that the truck had topped the ridge and was on its way down. He felt his lips begin to shake and crimped them together. His gaze jumped fitfully between the steam-obscured highway and the mirror. The truck was accelerating rapidly. Keller doubtless had the gas pedal floored. Wouldn't be long before the truck caught up to him. Man's right hand twitched unconsciously towards the gear shift. Noticing, he jerked it back, grimacing, glanced at the speedometer. The car's velocity had just passed 60. Not enough! He had to use the motor now. He reached out desperately. His right hand froze in midair as the motor stalled. He twisted the ignition key. The motor made a grinding noise but wouldn't start. Man glanced up, saw that he was almost on the shoulder, jerked the steering wheel around. Again, he turned the key, but there was no response. He looked up at the rearview mirror. The truck was gaining on him swiftly. He glanced at the speedometer. The car's speed was fixed at 62. Man felt himself crushed in a vice of panic. He stared ahead with haunted eyes. Then he saw it. Several hundred yards ahead, an escape route for trucks with burned-out brakes. There was no alternative now. Either he took the turnout, or his car would be rammed from behind. The truck was frighteningly close. He heard the high-pitched wailing of its motor. Unconsciously, he started easing to the right and jerked the wheel back suddenly. He mustn't give the move away. He had to wait until the last possible moment. Otherwise, Keller would follow him in. Just before he reached the escape route, Mann wrenched the steering wheel around. The car rear started braking to the left, tires shrieking. He steered with the skid braking just enough to keep from losing all control. The rear tires grabbed, and at 60 miles an hour, the car shot up the dirt trail, tires slinging up a cloud of dust. It began to hit on the brakes. The rear wheel sideslipped, and the car slammed hard against the dirt bank to the right. Mann gasped as the car bounced off and started to fishtail with violent whipping motions, angling towards the trail edge. He drove his foot down on the brake pedal with all his might. The car rear skidded to the right and slammed against the bank again. He heard a grinding rend of metal and felt himself heave downward suddenly. His neck snapped as the car plowed to a violent halt. As in a dream, Mann turned to see the truck and trailer swerving off the highway. Paralyzed, he watched the massive vehicle hurtle towards him, staring at it with blank detachment, knowing he was going to die, but so stupefied by the sight of the looming truck that he couldn't react. The gargantuan shape roared closer, blotting out the sky. Mann felt a strange sensation in his throat, unaware that he was screaming. Suddenly, the truck began to tilt. Mann stared at it and choked off silence as it started tipping over like some ponderous beast toppling in slow motion. Before it reached his car, it vanished from his rear window. Hands still shaking, Mann undid the safety belt and opened the door. Struggling from the car, he stumbled to the trail edge, staring downward. He was just in time to see the truck capsize like a foundering ship. The tanker followed, huge wheels spinning as it overturned. The storage tank on the truck exploded first, the violence of its detonation causing Mann to stagger back and sit down clumsily on the dirt. A second explosion roared below, its shockwave buffeting across him hotly, making his ears hurt. His glazed eyes saw a fiery column shoot up towards the sky in front of him, then another. Mann crawled slowly to the trail edge and peered down at the canyon. Enormous gouts of flame were towering upward, topped by thick, black, oily smoke. He couldn't see the truck or trailer, only flames. He gaped at them in shock, all feeling drained from him. Then, unexpectedly, emotion came. Not dread at first, and not regret. Not the nausea that followed soon. It was a primeval tumult in his mind, the cry of some ancestral beast above the body of his vanquished foe.